call the Senate Rules Committee to order. A meeting in the Butrovich Room. We have with us Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Costello, the President of the Senate, Senator Giesel. We have Senator Begich, Chairman Coghill. We have one item on today's calendar. We have the House Bill number 78. We have with us Carrie Gubereiter, who's in the Second Records, and we have
Madison.
Oh, I'm sorry. All I have to do is keep reading. I'm sorry. Madison Truitt with the LIO. This House Bill 78 is an act relating to insurance, relating to insurers' corporate annual disclosure, which is the big deal, relating to insurance company holding systems and providing for an effective date. We have online here, we have remarks with the legislative legal. We have David Pfeiffer with the Division of Insurance, Dan Wilkinson, the Assistant AG in Anchorage, and Aaron Egan, also Assistant AG in Anchorage, who are all on the committee with us. Senator Giesel, we have a CS. Would you be willing to make a motion to adopt the CS?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the Senate CS for the House CS for House Bill 78 Rules, version 3.1, GH1952/M, as our working document.
And I'm not going to object. I'll have it brought forward to us on what those changes are. So without objection, I'll make this our working document, but we're going to have Reneva come forward.
A brief at ease, Mr.
Pardon me, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, the numbering was incorrect in my statement. It's version 3.1, GH1953, yep. /M. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yep. And somebody is flagging me down on that very issue. So is there any objection to bring in the 953 /M as our working document? Chairman, no objection. We'll take that as our working document. And Reneva, my chief staff, will run through the changes, and then Lori Winghair will come and explain some of the changes to the bill. And there is at least one amendment that we'll address that's going to help, I think, the department. Reneva.
For the record, Reneva Moss, staff, Senator Coghill. On the table, I have given all of you a Word document that indicates the changes. Most of the changes in this bill are cleaning the bill up and conforming to our legislative drafting manual. The bill as it came over from the House was the bill that was authored by the Department of Law, and it didn't comply with our manual. So most of the changes that you'll see here are conforming. The addition to it is a court rule, indirect court rule, and indirect court rule means that our legal department felt sure that there was a need to change a court rule, but they had not determined which one. So by saying indirect, the court rule will apply without being specific. So if you look on page 11 and page 11, line 27, it says agreements or documentations may not serve as evidence. And then on page 13, section 5 also requires an indirect court rule change. But most of the other changes are changing shall nots, which do not conform to our manual. And then there is one new section on page 13, section 8. That is a conditional effective date on Section 3 and Section 5. These sections will only be enacted if the court rule gets a two-thirds approval vote. And that's basically the bill.
Any questions for Reneva at this point? Otherwise, we can bring Lori Winghair up. Lori, why don't you come on up and go through your view of this particular version.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Lori Winghire. I'm the Director of the Division of Insurance. I want to make my apologies to the committee for not realizing that this bill had not been through legal review.
Move the microphone over. Thank you, Lori.
And that it went through the House, and I will certainly be working with the House if it passes the Senate to apologizing to them for not catching that this had not gone through legal to conform with the drafting covenants. This bill is an accreditation bill, and I know most of you have heard us talk about accreditation or been on a committee where, over the years where we have brought accreditation bills to you. An accreditation is what the division receives from the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, and what it means is that we, along with the other jurisdictions, the states, the territory, and the District of Columbia, have adopted substantially similar laws as respects the determination of financial solvency of an insurance company. What this does is that when an insurance company from Pennsylvania or wherever comes up here, I know they're being examined by the same standards and held to the same standards that I would expect to Alaska National, UMALIC, or another insurance company. Conversely, when those insurance companies are doing business in the lower 48, those commissioners or directors know that those companies have been examined and held to the same standards. The two parts of this bill, and I'm not going to talk about the court rules because that's a third part today, but the first part is dealing with corporate governance. By statute, we examine financial examinations of an insurance company every 3 years. And we get the corporate governance documentation during the examinations, but we don't get it in the off years. So this bill is asking that the insurance companies provide us corporate governance on an annual basis to tell us if there's been any material change in the board, in the financial solvency of the company, have there been any planned acquisitions, mergers, divestitures, and whatever has happened, has the board been made aware? And that's what the first part of the bill, in essence, is doing. The second part of the bill is dealing with group-wide international holding companies. As the world is getting smaller and certain parts of the world are flourishing economically, we are seeing, for instance, that Asia is entering the insurance market. Dubai is entering the insurance market. And they are buying insurance companies that are transacting business in the United States. What this is saying is that if there is a company that is owned at a parent or a holding company level, and they have a they're doing business here, that we can look at that holding company. Now, the international company will let us look at their conduct a financial examination because we're letting them do business here. So that's the trade-off. Now, I can't imagine personally that in the state of Alaska that UMALIC or Alaska National or any insurance company that we think of as ours would be owned by an international insurance company. But it could happen. It could happen. But the other side is that we have insurance companies that are doing business here that are not domiciled that are owned by international companies. The bill goes on to say that when that happens, we would pick who would be the supervisor of this examination, basically the chief, by determining where the premium is, how much. It's a strategy that's laid out in the bill that we would determine who the lead supervisor is. We would still get to participate if we chose to, but we might not be the lead supervisor, and quite frankly, I'm okay with that. If it was our company in our state, I would expect to be the lead. I probably wouldn't expect to be on other circumstances unless I found that the majority of the premium was Alaska businesses. Then I would assert my right. And that, in essence, Senator Coghill, is the bill till we get to court rules.
I know that Senator Biggs had a couple of questions, and I'll go ahead and ask your questions at this point.
Sure. One of them is related to the last issue you just brought up, and we talked about this in my office, but you had said that the point of the bill is to stay certified by NAIC, and that there are times when a non-NAIC under this bill could, in fact, take the regulator could take the lead, and you just described those instances of when that would be what we would still be okay. We'd still be covered by NAIC. Could you explain that very quickly for the record?
Certainly. Through the chair, Senator Begich, there could be a time that it's the international country. It could be Japan that takes the lead because the holding company or the international company is domiciled there. And if we trusted Japan, if we were using the same standards, the same handbook, we would be okay with that. The other instance that you and I spoke of is There is always talk of NAIC accreditation. We're a small state. We kind of need it. New York has a zillion insurance companies, and I'll be quite frank, sometimes in NAIC meetings, they're like, we could do our own thing. We don't need to be part of the NAIC. Doesn't mean they're doing anything wrong, but they could. California, same thing. They have lots of insurance companies. So if we were working on an examination, it was determined that the majority of the business was in California, and even though they weren't accredited, but they were technically using the same standards, we could work with them.
So follow up on that. And this bill allows us to be able to follow up with them, and it protects us, essentially, in that kind of an instance. Is that right?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, that is right.
Okay.
Correct.
Follow up. More questions, Senator Begich?
A couple more questions. I just want to deal with the subpoena issue. I know that deals with the court rules issue as well, but the way that you described it to me, there's a series of disclosures that that make companies immune from subpoena, make the so that information couldn't be subpoenaed from the division for use in a situation unless, if I remember the instances correctly, unless it's a federal grand jury subpoena, which would still affect the division. So that's not affected by this. And a federal subpoena wouldn't be affected by this either, a grand jury or a federal subpoena. Those wouldn't be affected, correct?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, that is correct. And I do have our attorneys on the line, Dan Wilkerson and Aaron Egan, if you have any further questions on that. But this question came up in House Labor and Commerce from Representative Ledoux, and I did make sure my answer was correct in working with our attorney generals, but that is correct.
And that also, if I may follow up.
Please do.
Thank you, Matt, Mr. Chairman. The idea is to, it doesn't prohibit subpoenas being issued to other parties. It just protects the division's control of confidential information in that regard.
Through the chair, Senator Begich, that's correct. If there were to be a lawsuit, there would be nothing to preclude you from going to the insurance company directly to get those records. It's just that the division would be unable to give them to you.
Okay. That the issue about you've answered the issue. We'll deal with the court rule, I guess, afterwards. But the last sort of major issue I had is it was a question about a section. You have a section 5F1. It was on in the original version. It was page 13, line 1, and I'm not quite sure where that is in the new version of the bill. But if I could just see if I could find it here. This was the section that, as we discussed, says the director can do a thing if the director follows the law about the thing, but that's basically what we're doing with the bill itself. The bill does that. I mean, isn't that redundant? And why do we need that section?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, and I certainly would let my attorneys comment if they saw it differently, but I didn't disagree with you on your analysis on that, that's what the bill is actually compelling me to do as the director.
And it just to follow up, Mr. Chairman, and that's it's just repeating it in the law. And I mean, is that section necessary, or does it? I'm not suggesting we take it out. I just want to be sure I understood why it existed. So it was section 5, F1, page 13.
It's
line one.
Section 3 now.
Okay, now it's section
I compared
three.
It to this. You said section 5 previously?
Yeah.
So that's 21-22-177 is the statute that it's addressing. Group-wide supervision of internationally active insurance.
Yeah. The director's, let me read it from the text. The director's cooperation is in compliance with the laws of this state. I just seemed redundant, that's all.
Yes. I don't disagree, through the chair, I don't disagree with that.
And I might just ask either Dan Wilkerson or Aaron Egan. It looks to me like one might be domestic, one might not be domestic, but if that's, maybe they could explain that to us. So either Dan or Aaron, if you have an opinion on that particular issue. Maybe David Pfeiffer from the insurance people would be the better. Who would be the primary drafter, Lori, on this one?
Mr. Chairman, that'd be Dan Wilkerson.
Dan, are you able to hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine. Did you hear the question?
Okay, good. So I have a moment to review. Thank you.
Yes, that would be the section 117. over against...
Page 12, line 6.
Page...
Now it's page 12, line 6.
Page 12,
right?
Line 6.
Page 12,
7.
Line 6 is the current version.
Maybe as he's... Go ahead, Dan.
It seems to clarify that if we have a regulatory official from a non-accredited jurisdiction to be acknowledged as the regulatory official, our director can cooperate as long as our director is in compliance with our laws.
Got it. I understand. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That was, right. I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you. Other questions for... All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Marie Marks to give us her reason for putting the court rule in, even though I think we went over it once before. Marie, in drafting this, you came up with a court rule change. Can you just give us your rundown on that court rule change?
Yes, for the record, this is Marie Marks with Legislative Legal Services. And, Mr. Chairman, I think that is a close call. I think that there, arguably, as you heard from the testimony today, it may be that there's other provisions that already cover it. There's a question of why are we even adding it. I think the fact if we're adding provisions, creating evidentiary rules, it may be arguable that there's a reason that it's because it doesn't exist elsewhere, or at least it's a question whether the authority exists elsewhere. Otherwise, you wouldn't need to add those additional provisions because they already exist. And so my recommendation is just to, in the abundance of caution, and because we can address it right here and absolutely resolve the question, we can Mr. Chairman, can you hear me okay?
Yes, very, very well. Thank you, Marie.
Okay, is that we can resolve any potential issue by making it clear that there's an indirect court rule amendment. If there is none specifically mentioned in the bill, what will happen is both will go into law. The statute will go into law, and if there's a conflict, the court rule will be the one that takes effect, and it will override anything that's contrary in the bill. And so in my judgment, if we can fix it now, if there's a question, there's obviously a reason that these provisions are being added, even if they already exist elsewhere. The fact that we're adding them, I think, raises a legitimate question. Let's just resolve it now in abundance of caution so no issues arise down the road. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Marie. Appreciate it. Is there questions on this particular issue? I thought that was a good enough answer for me, so I was willing to go ahead and leave that particular section in there. There was a conceptual amendment that was put in front of me just as we were gaveling in. And so why don't we go ahead and move it, put it on the table, and then we'll get the opinion of both the person carrying the bill and our own leg's legal, Madam President.
Mr. Chairman, I move this conceptual amendment, which would state the director of the Division of Insurance may adopt regulations necessary to implement the most recent version of the Financial Analysis Handbook adopted by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners.
So, the amendment was brought to my attention. So, first of all, why, and what is the benefit as we move forward? Maybe Ms. Winghire can. I'm sorry. Yes, I will object. Thank you. So now that we've got the amendment and the objection in front of us, my apologies. Give us what this is a benefit for you. If I understand correctly, it's something that you have been asking for. And then I'll talk to my leg legal about how this looks.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Division of Insurance does have updated manuals every year from the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, not just on financial standards, but market conduct standards. And we were under the impression that 2106-140, which compels us to use the current models or the current editions, was giving us the authority to do so. It is the opinion of Ledge Legal that we do not have the authority, and that amendment is coming forward to allow us to adopt regs, which will allow us to adopt the current manual and resolve the issue, which if that is the conclusion or the consent of this committee, then we will be happy to do so.
Marie, was that well stated according to your opinion?
Mr. Chairman, can you, again, for the record, this is Marie Marks with Legislative Legal Services. You just cut out there. Can you repeat that?
Ms. Marks, did you hear Lori Winghire's explanation, and is this conceptual amendment getting us to where we need to be for allowing regulation to be promulgated under this bill?
Mr. Chairman, it is correct that a department needs explicit statutory authority to adopt future amended versions. They absolutely can do that. The legislature just has to grant them that authority in statute. So it's a pretty easy process. And I am actually pulling up some language here because there's a statute that provides exactly what the statute giving the authority must state.
Okay.
But if that's done, then you can simply state in statute that they have authority to adopt by regulation. And I think the statutory language that's required is as amended from time to time or future amended versions. It's very specific. I'm just pulling this up now.
Okay.
And then the process from that point forward is that the division doesn't have to go through the long regulatory process once they have statutory authority. All they need to do is just tell the public, hey, as of this date, you know, January 1st or whatever, we are using the most recent version. And so the language I suggest would be create a new statutory provision, probably in, I think it makes sense to put it in 2197.030, called material incorporated by reference. And I would reference specifically the statutory authority that grants this, and that's AS 44-62-245A2. And then state that in adopting or amending a regulation that incorporates the financial analysis handbook published by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development may incorporate future amended versions of the financial analysis handbook published by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. And I think that'll do it.
All right. Before we go any further, we have a question on the conceptual amendment that was brought forward. So, Senator Giesel.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the conceptual amendment encapsulates the concepts that were just articulated by Marie Marks. My suggestion, Mr. Chairman, is that we also make a statement allowing Ledge Legal to make any conforming changes. And that would allow Ledge Legal to put in the statutes that give this authority and the specific language, as it was a rather long-suggested amendment.
Right. So, Ms. Marks, did you hear the actual language of the conceptual amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I didn't quite catch it all, but I would be happy to, if I have the committee's authority, to, after this hearing, touch base with the department or whoever you direct me to touch base with and make sure I get that language.
Okay.
And then we'd be happy, of course, if we get explicit authority to make conforming changes, draft an amendment to that.
All right. So, Senator Giesel.
And Mr. Chairman, that authority to make conforming changes actually comes from you as
right.
you make that final adoption statement.
Right. So we've got, and I'm just going to read it out loud for everybody listening in. The director of the Division of Insurance may adopt regulations necessary to implement the most recent versions of the Financial Analysis Handbook adopted by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. Any other comment on this particular amendment? So I will withdraw my objection, and at this point it would be the chair's call to say we would allow Legislative Legal to fix this with any conforming issues in drafting. Is there any objection to that? All right, with that, is there any other objection to the amendment? All right, no objection. The amendment is adopted. That brings the bill back before us. Any other comments on the bill? Senator Giesel?
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate CS for the House Bill number 78 rules as amended, version 31GH1953/M from this committee with individual recommendations.
Any objection to moving the committee bill?
Is there a fiscal note? If so, include the fiscal note in that motion.
So with the motion to move version M as amended with the fiscal note, individual recommendations, and the authority to make conforming changes to the bill. Just to be aware, because of the amendment, we probably won't be able to have this bill on the floor today. We'll probably move it over to the next day so we can draft it up. All right. With that, the bill moves. Any other business before the committee? Please stay to sign the recommendations. The committee is adjourned.